Hi, welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robbie Winters.
And we are going to...
Well, let's go political for a moment, briefly.
Oh, right. Candidates.
All right.
As I said to you at the end of the last segment, one of the public commenters on the affordable was Adrienne Musgrave, who announced that she
says, I will be a candidate. So she was a candidate last time.
Right.
She was very strongly affiliated with the A Better Cambridge group.
That's right.
Right, one of our local
political parties. In fact, I think she was wearing
political parties.
One of those, I support, affordable housing.
Over. Oh, yeah, yeah. So
she's also associated with Upgrade Cambridge.
Right. Right. So, and I don't think she'll be the only one who's affiliated with ABC.
Oh, no.
I think there is, I mentioned.
Well, you mentioned another one.
I mentioned this fellow, Burhan Azim, who's an MIT student.
And he's declared?
He's all of about 22.
When you
he's
say
not declared.
But you noticed he's, from the
No,
from
I got,
ages,
I got sort of the word that he's strongly considering being a candidate this year. So, and he's very, very in tight with the ABC crowd. So wouldn't be at all surprised if he emerged as one of the ABC candidates as well. Yeah. We'll see. You know, and as far as I know, all of the incumbents are going to seek re-election.
You haven't heard any rumblings
of nobody? Not a hint at all.
I mean, so this is going to be very... How many open seats were there last time? Three, right? Somebody said four, but I think it was three.
I think it was three, and we filled three, yeah. I mean, it was a possibility.
David Marr and... Who's the third one? Leland.
Leland Cheung.
Right.
Yeah. So it's three out, three in, I believe.
Yeah, so it's going to be tougher... Definitely tougher than
you know, I think that the odds are, again, this is sort of early handicapping of the race.
Yeah.
My guess is that the incumbents, this may well be one of those nine incumbents back in. But you know, we'll see. You know, the thing is
somebody would have to be really strong among the challenger to probably, because people like who they...
If there is an open seat, for example, if Paul Toner chooses to run and he announced he was running...
Yeah.
And
right.
As far as I know, he is.
Oh, he's going to run? Yeah.
Yeah, he originally said that, but
it'll be tougher this year.
Been much activity.
Definitely
about
tough because there's no one.
Sam Gebru announced he was going to be running the moment the last election was over, but now I haven't seen any activity there, so maybe that's not the case. You know what? One thing that I think needs to be said about the politics of it all is that if there are no open seats, it's kind of difficult to break in unless somebody is really weak
or too similar. There are a couple counselors that have similar constituencies or similar. I don't know.
Of course, the more similar you are to someone, the bigger the enemy they are, because in a PR election, you're fighting over the same voters. Then that's kind of one of the awkward aspects of PR. Your closest political affiliate is your stiffest competition.
Yeah, I could see that happening with a few
right.
people on the
But,
council.
You know, there were two counselors, Kelly and Carlone, who squeaked in, didn't even reach quota last time. So
right, they're vulnerable.
You could do the political calculation and say that they're vulnerable, so maybe I'll try and appeal to those voters and see if you can get in.
Yeah.
Now I've been trying not to be too compulsive about it, but I've been checking the Office of Campaign Political Finance to see.
That's usually the first hint of who's.
You can't raise money unless you got a depository bank account. So the first hint that you've got a live candidate may be when they file the papers so they can open up the bank account.
To raise money. Okay.
So so far this year there are two. One is Charles Franklin, who I mentioned, I think, at the last show.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, a new one as of yesterday. Is somebody named Jivan C. Sobrino Wheeler.
Is that a woman or a man? Because I don't know by the name.
I think it's male.
Okay.
But I actually don't know.
Jivan.
And who is affiliated with, like, the Democratic Socialists of America, Our Revolution, sort of the Mike Connolly crowd.
The Bernie Bros,
but also with the bike crowd. You know, so he's a regular commenter on some of the bicycle infrastructure stuff.
Okay.
So, so I don't know. You know, my sense is that the Our Revolution group...
They're definitely going to have a...
Well, the thing is, I think they're kind of feeling their oats because in Somerville,
there's four or five candidates are all
They
from,
basically
right?
bumped off a bunch of district councilors who were taking
They kind of took it over.
Yeah, and they kind of pushed it through. So you've got this sort of pretty strong... Left,
but they also have a strong mayor system.
Right. So the thing is that what the city council does in Somerville is it's unclear what the effects are.
They don't get paid nearly as much as
not even close.
Not even close.
Right. So the thing is that are the revolutionaries, are they still want to do the same thing here in Cambridge? Mm. I think they probably think they can.
They do, but it's a little harder to get into this system. And it's, all, it's right. not PR over there, is it?
Right. And the other thing, too,
wait, is it in Somerville? It's not PR.
Oh, definitely not PR. Okay. You know, no place else in Massachusetts does PR.
That's true.
Though I think, is it Amherst is actually talking about using proportional representation for some of their elections, but not right away. It's in the future.
Aside, my friend in Chicago said, it's too bad we didn't have a system like you have. I mean, she meant really ranked choice voting, because they have two women candidates who are good, but 16% and like 18% out of like 20 candidates.
You know, I think in part because there seems to be a bit of an awakening of people wanting to be candidates.
I think but ranked choice is going to be coming...
You know, it was a kind of a hard sell for years, but now you look at newspaper editorials all over the place, there's a lot more acceptance of the idea.
Because there's just so many candidates. How do you get it fair?
Right. Actually, one of the things I think it's probably not to go too national about this, but...
Why not?
But, you know, people talk... I know Rob Ritchie from Fair Vote, he says they should have ranked choice voting for... The primaries.
Absolutely. This was a primary.
The problem is that you would only be doing that more as a polling mechanism, because the truth is that the way the Democratic Party, at least, does the allocation of delegates, it's roughly proportional.
Oh, you're talking about presidential?
Yeah, presidential primaries.
Yeah, that's right. That's a little different.
But the thing is that at this stage, and we'll see how it shakes out, but... You know, if you end up with 15 Democratic candidates all wanting to be the one to to push out Trump, then there's a pretty darn good chance that, based on identity politics and other reasons, that you're going to have quite a few who are going to at least have some constituency in order to earn delegates. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood that you end up with the one big, super prominent person who ends up with the majority of delegates going into the convention starts to become a less probable event.
Well, because of the way the Democrats do it. I wish the Republicans wish they had done that, because it was winner-take-all, right?
That's right. That's so how they were doing winner-take-all. So well, I think doing it proportionally makes a lot more sense, but it also means that being a delegate at the national convention is going to become a pretty important job. If, in fact, they go there and nobody has a majority.
Well, that's happened over the years. I forget which elections, but it has happened.
You know, we have this sort of weird process where where candidates feel that they're not going to have enough traction, so they drop out, and then those delegates kind of shift toward others. You know, I don't know that you're going to have as much dropping out, because I think everybody will be... If you're going into a brokered convention where nobody, you know, so Sanders will think, oh, I'm going to get my 30% and therefore I'll be
Biden
in.
Biden is the...
But if Sanders went in with 30% and you ended up with 52% of the voters saying, there's no way I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. He's not really a Democrat. And there is a lot of sentiment like that. Then he can't possibly win if that played out that way. Biden, on the other hand, would be a person, if he went in with 30-some-odd percent support, there'd be a lot of Democrats who'd say, yeah, he's okay. Yeah. So if they, as they start going through ballots and people drop off, they could coalesce around a Biden. But
Biden, Kamala Harris? Biden, Warren?
Biden, Warren, I don't think would sell so well.
But Biden, Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the Biden, Warren would be viewed as the old people ticket against old people ticket. I think the Democrats would probably first want to get some racial balance in the
That's
ticket.
That's why Kamala Harris
because
might be good.
For better or worse, it's become sort of a
necessity. It's got to be a woman. You cannot have two men
again. I think that's true.
Yeah.
So the Democrats, because they're trying to be fair and open, are kind of in a position where they have to play gender and racial factors into the selection. Yeah. And I don't think there's any way around it. So I think that's what they will do. So, but will they decide to sort of have the dark horse candidate like Beto O'Rourke?
He hasn't declared.
No, he hasn't declared yet.
Please stay out of it. You're like, what, 30? Please.
Right.
Oh, well. Anyway. I shouldn't say anybody stay out of it. You want to run.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, all of this because we talk about local. So
right, okay. So
if Adrian Musgrave is in, and Jevon, Sabrina Wheeler is in, and Charles Franklin actually follows through.
Yeah, we don't know about this guy.
No, no, no. So at least that's three on top of the incumbents. Okay. And I think there's some of the people ran last time who haven't been active with their campaign finance or anything.
Do you think Paul Toner might run?
You know, I think the dilemma he's in is that if a counselor like... you know, for example, if Tim Toomey said, "Okay, I'm done," then if you're Paul Toner, there's a pretty good likelihood that you
except
pick
he's
up a
kind
lot
of a North Cambridge guy, and Toomey is an East Cambridge
guy.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of old time independents in Cambridge who would still look kindly
that's
upon
true.
Paul.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And a lot of other people would look kindly upon Paul because he's a pretty decent guy.
Yeah.
So you know, so we'll see, right? So
the incumbents don't have to. Their accounts are already live, so you don't really know if they're gonna run.
You don't really know. And like for example, in the case of Leland Cheung, he didn't let it be known that he was non-candidate until pretty much the last day.
Right, because he didn't have to.
Yeah. So it says, is he gonna file papers or not?
Right.
And he didn't.
Interesting.
And then he put out a press release.
When is the absolute deadline? June. The end of June.
So none of this is real. There are no real candidates until July 1st.
July 1st. Okay.
When people pull papers, then I would say if you pull papers, that tells me you're a candidate. But you're not really a candidate until you file your 50 signatures.
Right. Okay.
Right. And technically, you're not a candidate until the elections commission says, "Okay, you got your 50." Then you're on the ballot.
Right.
Right. So. You know, but the thing is that most of the people who are going to be doing all these preliminary moves, I think, will actually follow through and be candidates. Hmm. So, you know, anyway, the field is very slowly taking shape.
Election year.
Right, and I think how people talk when it comes up to issues, whether it's this affordable housing overlay or the trees thing here about who's going to be the champion, is going to be interesting to play. I mean, one of the realities about PR elections is that you don't want to be... the person who everybody sort of likes, but who is not the champion of any particular issue.
Right.
Because you could be everybody's number two vote and be eliminated early.
Yeah.
So it's usually necessary, not always.
To be identified with some
to be identifiable with either a neighborhood
or
a group.
Yeah.
Or an issue, right? So who will be the king or queen of the trees? Who will be the king or queen of the bikes, right? And who will try and ride, you know, herd on the affordable housing overlay as sort of the be-all end-all,
may not be anybody.
Well, it could backfire depending on how it is received publicly.
Right.
People will probably be a little more cautious about that.
Because they're very different constituencies, but all those constituencies do show up at the polls.
They are
committed voters, usually, right?
Exactly. So, you know, so we'll see how it all plays out. So anyway, that's, it'll be an interesting year as it plays itself out.
So before we have some time left, we really should talk about the zero waste.
That's right. Okay.
Because that's all over your site. You did a very nice.
Yeah. So, I had a little fun with sort of keeping up with the Cambridge news, you know, pick a zero waste dogs or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
But anyway, the comments are due this Friday.
Right.
Ides of March, March 15th.
It's a zero waste draft. I guess we don't plan. It's actually been, the city's been consulting with HDR for the last few years, actually.
Right.
And all these documents are available either via Robert's website or right on cambridgemad.gov. If you put zero waste plan, you'll go right to it. And
So in a nutshell, though, I mean, what's the story here?
Because the story is we have to reduce our waste, and we've already made a dent in that by having curbside compost for 12 units or
less. So is this based on sort of professed goals that were established some years ago?
Yes, 2020,
which is next year.
Right.
So many of those.
And some of these go further.
Yet.
Right.
Right. So that's sort of it's like the latest update on what the goals were, but with implementation and recommendations.
Right. And they did a lot of waste audit. I mean, they went around neighborhoods and looked at what the trash set outs were and came up with different formulas and said most people do not put out more than, what was it, 16 pounds? Yeah, we could go to...
let me just do one graphic. I mean, because there's lots of graphics here, but this is just one to sort of show that...
Right, although this is, I have to say that's not accurate because it even
It may not be accurate.
All right, but go ahead, go. I'll explain it.
But I'll just to say is that if you think it's all about just doing it because it's the righteous good thing...
No, this is about money,
also,
too.
It's also about money.
Right, okay. So this is what... The costs are now tip fee only. That means when the hauler goes and has to tip the load. Now, if you look at the recycle in particular, it is used to be 35, but right now because of all the...
It fluctuates.
It's now. We've been paying 70 because of the excessive contamination and the China has put limits on what they'll take. So it's a real issue.
So to bring that down, my presumption is you would have to establish better standards for people putting out their recycling.
But it would still be cheaper to compost and recycle than it is to dump the trash, which is about $100. And it's only going to get worse.
Right.
So that's a good... idea of why we need to do this.
Right. So it's not just about being righteous.
No.
Right?
No. You know?
And it's also not just about greenhouse gas reduction, so that's a factor.
Right. And they do mention that throughout this plan, the GHG, is that what that is? Okay. But also, we have not changed our ordinance on trash putouts for many years. And it's again, this gets confusing. It's 150 pounds or 332, I don't know. It's too much is the point.
Yeah, I mean, I have to
you
say...
You don't need to put out that much.
I mean, I don't expect people to be as sort of wonderful as we are in my household where we put out like a baggie every few weeks, right?
Yeah. Tissues, cellophane. I mean, you don't eat chips probably and stuff like that.
If they're in the house,
Because you can't recycle those items.
Right.
It's true.
So, if you're... Depending on how you live, right?
Right.
You may or may not. I mean, we.
If you have young babies and you're using diapers, and that was a consideration by people that made comments.
Yeah.
But they would make some exception for that. But basically, they're proposing a 32-gallon per household container, which they would buy from the state. I think they estimated it would cost between $1.2 and $2 million for the city to buy these for the city, which isn't bad. Because the state gives you reductions. A lot of communities have done it. And if you needed more, like you had a young... I think there's ways to do that. But they didn't want to go to where you get an extra bag and pay for it. They don't want to do that.
Let me give you a particular.
Okay. I hope it's not yours because you're not typical.
No, not my house. But the building next door. So there's four units.
Right.
And then there's a Montessori school and daycare.
Is it condos or renters?
Renters.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, so what they do is they've got like a big toter for every apartment as well as the commercial
ones.
Now,
when you say big, though, is it 95 gallon? Is it 65? Think of the recycling toter
size. I'd say it's probably in the 50-ish or 50 something.
50 to 60,
yeah.
Okay.
Right, they're on the par with the big recycling bins.
Well, that's 92.
So maybe that big. The thing is because of, I don't know, maybe it's the sort of the, you know,
the
building politics or whatever.
Yeah.
They have a container.
Mm-hmm.
They have a recycling container, compost container, and a rubbish container.
For four units.
For each unit.
Each unit?
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Do they have the tiny compost container?
They have relatively small, you know, not the tiny, but relatively small compost containers.
Well, there's only two sizes. There's either the 12 or the 20.
Right. So every Wednesday morning, because in mid-Cambridge, that's our rubbish pickup day. There's a line of containers.
Oh yeah, right.
That's like about 16 of them for a.
And I bet they're half empty.
And they're mostly empty.
Yeah, so that would change.
And they're badly done.
Good. Yeah.
You know, it's actually it's disgusting.
So they wouldn't be allowed. The compost container would be allowed. What about the recycling? They each get one recycling
container? They each get one big recycling.
Well, that's the city's fault.
It really is the city's fault.
Is it from the city or was it from the... you can buy your own recycling.
If there was one, I don't know, standard and practice I would change if we could or maybe make it by ordinance is that buildings should be managed so that, in other words, if you own a building and you've got four housing units in there with multiple housemates or whatever...
Yeah.
It's not going to break the bank if you basically have some guy who comes by every week and deals with the trash and takes the barrels back in.
Right.
And people share the resources. So you have one, you have a few rubbish containers, and then if those fill up, you move to another if you need to.
Yep.
And then you only take out what's necessary. Because I can say that for this particular building next to me, they could probably put out maybe about five barrels rather than 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you see the rubbish truck come by, they're popping the tops and go, very little in there, very little in here. All right,
go to this one, because this is what they did an audit, and you can see over 75% of households set out less than 32. Now, that is the size of, you know, your standard barrel.
Yeah.
Monday root, example of mature, that's because they started early.
So
the Thursday root really puts out a lot of trash. You're Wednesday, right?
Yeah, well, I'm Wednesday
Friday.
Here.
Who's Thursday? Wow.
I think, is that right? Is that East Cambridge?
I thought East Cambridge was Friday, but I could.
Yeah, you know,
it's around there. It's that end of Cambridge.
Yeah,
true.
I used to know this stuff cold because that was the recycling hotline for all these years.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is not just recycling. This is trash.
Yeah, this is for rubbish here. So,
but anyway, yeah, so.
And the other thing
that could be streamlined, and it would be.
It should be streamlined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think we need to do, and again, I'm not going to put this on the recycling people per se, but the thing is that Cambridge is the type of place where there's a reasonably fair amount of turnover.
Yes.
From household to household.
A lot of renters in the city.
There's a lot of renters, and people do move about, mm-hmm. and people move to come to school here or take a job, mm-hmm. and then they move to another place.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a break-in period where, you know, some of the parts of the city, there's a much more stable housing.
Well, West Cambridge.
A lot of homeowners, much more mm-hmm. so than like where I am.
Yeah.
So the thing is that in some parts of town, there's a lot of people don't even know what the rules are.
Right. No,
and they
that's
don't,
true.
And never mind laws.
Well,
and rules,
they might be given this stuff, but they don't care.
Right. You know.
If they go to MIT, they do a lot of recycling and diversion over there.
Well, you know, I got to say,
MIT and Harvard too.
You know, you want to say one of the real joys of MIT. Yeah. You know, there's like a next door Cambridge. If you have like a futon you want to give away, you can put up an announcement on that, and people get it, right? But at MIT, they have their reuse list. And if they say, we've got some this here, and it'll be in lobby 26 in 15 minutes,
right?
And then it's all gone.
Yeah, there's no waste at MIT.
You know, you say, if anybody want an old computer monitor, it doesn't really work. And they go, 2 minutes later, the announcement goes, gone.
No, that's good. I mean, because they're like a contained system there. And they can do all
and
that.
Their MIT people will take mm-hmm. things that don't work, and they'll fix them and make them work, too. So, so it really, it's an incredible thing. You know, you kind of wish you could export it a bit.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know that we're...
No waste.
And I'm not trying to put the weight on anybody here, but I don't know that we just do a good job of breaking in new residents...
They try to send out this stuff to realtors, and they ask the realtors are the go-between. I mean, they see the person, right? Usually they can give it out, but it's the most educated people just don't care sometimes.
If every building had a person who was sort of in charge.
Well, you need to have someone that like cleans up the front of your house.
Right.
It's like, you know.
Yeah. So
Al Gore did it. Yeah. Mike Dukakis does it.
So if every if it could just be standard practice, it could be an existing long-term
tenant.
Take care
of where you live.
I'll give you a $25 break on the rent if you just do this, right?
But a lot of times it's not a local landlord. It's somebody that lives out. They could be out in the suburbs, but maybe they have an in-person manager. But you're right.
Yeah,
actually, the
building next to me.
Yeah, who manages
that? Well, I won't tell you because he hates me.
Right, but they don't live there, right?
He doesn't live there, no. But the previous owner at least somewhat lived there.
Yeah.
At least he got the residential exemption, even if he didn't really live there.
Right.
But the thing is that the previous owner actually had a local person, take care of things.
Okay.
And then when it was sold to some limited liability corporation, it immediately became this monolithic building management where every tenant is on their own.
Yeah, the limited liability, you don't know who owns what. And that's, we really need to.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, you would have a lot more, just better functioning building if you had a person who was sort of mining.
Well,
the store.
You know, I don't know if you were you were on the recycling committee years and years ago. I was on a group that was looking at whatever, and to try. Remember, we dealt with you because we tried to get a list of property managers of buildings of large buildings, and it was just so difficult to get that data.
When we were first rolling out commercial recycling, it was being done where every individual business had to file a plan. And the point I always made was that, well, you know, really it shouldn't be done business by business. It should be done building by building.
Right.
And, you know, so you don't want to have everybody making their own
separate
arrangement.
I mean, finding owners and then who's managing it is, like, impossible.
That's right. It was just a hard thing to do.
So.
But, I mean, that's sort of long-term cultural shift, I think.
And it's happening more now because there's so many out of country investors and right. investing in places. And
yeah, but it's sort of like it's a shift back to once was. Yeah. You know, it was once upon a time. Buildings had superintendents and right. custodians and things right. like that. Yeah. And, you know, and it seems like a lot of property owners seem to think that they don't need to do that. Unless well, you're the big, big fancy new ones where they got the concierge yeah. and everything.
I mean, you right? have to shovel your sidewalk, and I guess you can report an unshoveled sidewalk in some depth, yeah. but still, it's enforcement, you know.
Well, actually, in the case of the building next to me, yeah. the same person who would handle the rubbish,
yeah.
who lived nearby,
okay,
he also showed up and did the snow shovel. So oh. you basically had your
But that's
person.
Gone now, is what you're saying.
Well, when the building got sold, then yeah. the job went away and everything. And they don't shovel their walk either.
Have you put like little recycling flyers and stuff in their thing? Or no? You want to be careful because you live right next door. I know.
Right. You know, the thing is you run into the delicate issues.
Yes, you have to be careful where yeah. you... Right.
Yeah. 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 So, sure. I mean, I once made a suggestion and the guy mm-hmm. said, well, that's our last communication. So now I think the only way I can actually... suggest anything is to contact Inspectional Services or Public Works yeah. Department, which is okay. not, that would not have been my first choice.
Right.
You know, I'm not that kind of person, okay. you know. So anyway, so,
all right, so just
read about it,
take a look at it. It's on, just put Zero Waste Master Plan Cambridge, you'll find it. Yeah. And March 15th, plus I think they're presenting the, I don't know if it's at City Council, April 7th. And we hope to have the director of recycling, Michael Orr, on as a guest.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it tonight because he was on vacation, but
right.
We'll have him on soon to talk about this.
Sounds great.
So what do we have? Anything for this week? Any meetings or...
You know, there are a few sort of interesting ones.
I don't think I had anything listed in my own...
Yeah, I think... So
the
planning board is talking about it's the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority together with the planning board dealing with this big where the MIT Coop is down on Main Street. That's going to be a real big change there.
So separate from Volpe, separate from Alexandria.
Completely separate. Yeah,
okay.
Completely separate. You know, so that's coming. Recycling Advisory Committee is
that's
tomorrow morning,
and they will be discussing this, the committee, so but public comments docket. First, though. So.
Roundtable working meeting of the City Council and School Committee.
But when is that?
There's one Wednesday, 5:30.
No.
Actually,
this week? Oh.
Yeah, and there's a special meeting of the School Committee on Thursday as well at 6
oh.
o'clock. So they're getting their budget
okay.
in order. Yeah, so
right.
I have it up on my civic calendar
okay.
as well.
Good.
So anyway, lots of things happening. Also,
yeah.
springtime is coming in a few days. So,
spring. I thought it's Friday spring. It's going to be 60.
Yeah, cool. That's right. So.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week, right?
Yep. See you next week on Cambridge Inside Out. Mm-hmm.